All right, a pleasure to bring in the third base coach of the Giants, the professor, and that is Ron Wode as well. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Marty. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Pretty good. Are the rutabagas and the strawberries things, how are they looking at the ballpark?
They're looking good. You know, it's a hustle and a bustle over here. You know, the fans are coming in. They're tamping down the mound right now as I'm in the stands watching the grounds crew, Greg Elliott and his staff work. And it's ballparks, as you like to say, it's coming to life.
I love it. I love the image. Hey, what a week. What a week of baseball. And for you guys, it started off on kind of a crazy note on Sunday night when you got into L.A. What happened?
Yeah, that was a first. You know, we've had buses break down, and we have other things. A door on the plane wouldn't shut, so we had to sit for a few hours and figure out how we're going to go from Pittsburgh, from Detroit to Pittsburgh. We've had a number of things, but this was a first. We landed in L.A., and Abe Silvestri, our director of travel, gets on the bus and says, "Boys, they had a water main break at the hotel. There's no water there. So we're going to have to find another hotel." And, of course, we need 70 rooms, right? And it's hard at the last moment to find 70 rooms. But he did. He did a tremendous job. He split us up. You know, half the guys went on to a hotel out in Beverly Hills across from the Wilshire where we were staying. And the staff and the support group, we all went to L.A. Live downtown. So it worked out fine, and he passed a big test because that could have been a nightmare, and it happened very quickly for us. Great job by Abe.
Boy, amazing. 70 rooms. How about that?
You know, yeah.
Sounds like a Woody Allen movie, you know, where he orders like 4,000, you know, tuna sandwiches, and he leaves in a wheelbarrow. All right. Very good. What a week, though. And the Dodgers series, well, we're going to take that apart just a little bit, but it almost was like a playoff series. The fans are back. It must have been very exciting for you.
It really was. It felt great to have that energy and play our rivals. You know, the Dodgers always get up when they play us. They've been changing and adjusting the rotation for years whenever they play us. And, you know, it was a Monday night, the first night, and they had a bobblehead night. I can't remember who it was now. And then they had two bobblehead nights, and the place was packed. And the energy that the fans brought, and, you know, great games. Obviously, the game, last two games, we beat Jansen in the ninth. We're electric, come from behind wins, and they got us one time the same way. But the fans bring so much to the game and the energy. It was a playoff type atmosphere, and it was a good experience for our guys.
Well, how do you stay calm? Because let's face it, you're in the third base box, and, you know, here's Flores. He gets a base hit with two out, and Solano hits one over Bellinger's head, which is hard to do the way this guy plays center field, I want to tell you. And then you got to hold Flores up because his run at that point doesn't mean anything. And but you must be so excited in that moment with the place going nuts. How do you stay calm?
Yeah, well, I've learned over the years. I try to remove the emotion so I can think clearly, and it's hard to do sometimes. But you know, big games, big moments. You really have to stay calm, remove the emotion. The fans obviously have all the emotion going for them, and as a player, you can get caught up in it too. You know, and as a coach, you can. But you have to think clearly, and so that's what I try to do, is I just try to stay laser-focused to remove the emotion and think positive, think good thoughts. You know, I told Talkman, I said, if Ruff gets on base here, we're going to win this game. And sure enough, we did. And, you know, I think the positive thinking is something that benefits, you know, even though I have no personal control at the plate or anything, but I really believe it makes a difference, and I certainly know it makes a difference when you're a player in those moments to think that you're going to get the job done and think positively opposed to negatively and let that anxiety creep in.
Yeah, the game is mental. It really, Yogi Berra said it best, and he said it's you know, 90% physical and 70% mental or something like that. So
Yogi
had it didn't do great in math, but something like that. You held Yaz up, and I bring this up because, you know, I thought, heck, this could be an inside-the-park home run. And Flan was there, too, so I want to talk about two things. One, holding Yaz up, and you almost got an inside-the-parker with Flan there.
Yeah, you know, it was great to see Flan. Obviously, his daughter wanted to come out to a game, and, you know, he gave me a shout and said, hey, I'm thinking of coming up to the game, and we got him tickets and passes, and I was blown away. I mean, I was so happy to see him, but, you know, really, you're going to come up to Dodger Stadium, and where we had all those great battles all the year, but he had a good time. The guys loved seeing him before the game. You know, all the players that he had came out, gave him a big hug, and he's doing real well. He's feeling good, and it was a treat to have him. He inspired me at third base. So when that ball was hitting the gap, you know, Flan will tell you the most exciting play for a third base coach and the fans is an inside the parker, at least one of them. And I wanted to score him because it was two outs, and it was kind of a broken play. The outfielder in right picked up the ball. It should have been just a double, and he threw it in, and he spiked it or something. I don't know exactly what happened, but it was rolling towards the infield, and, Justin Turner had to go out to the outfield to pick it up. And it's a tough read for me to see if you can send him or not, because you don't get that type of play very often. You're used to a base hit with the outfield in or deep, and you got a lot of reps. So, anyways, I thought I had a chance to score him, and I got to credit Yaz. I gave him a late stop sign. Thank God I did, because Turner threw a bullet right to home plate. We were down by two, and we couldn't afford to get him thrown out. But credit Yaz for stopping on the late stop like that. A lot of guys would run right through that, you know, put their head down. And that's what you're supposed to do. You come hard, and you got to be ready to stop at the last moment. And he did that, and it worked out.
Boy, what a week of baseball. So much happened. I was on with Brian Murphy the other day and Paulie, and they said, boy, you got to ask Woe about the play with Vossler. And, of course, you and I for 10 years have talked about getting a lead off a third base when the third baseman is off the bag, getting a lead way off of first base when the first baseman is behind you. That secondary lead, well, we've talked about it, and Vossler took it perfectly, and it was a huge play for him getting a jump. And we'll go through that play because Noisy, the second baseman, kind of didn't do what he was supposed to do either.
Yeah, well, two outs, bases loaded, you know, down to our last strike. And, you know, this play that he executed tied the game. And, you know, base running always goes unnoticed. You don't really pay attention. Does the guy, you know, get the great jump or secondary? But does he cut the corner right? But obviously everybody sees how important it was in that moment. And Antoine Richardson did a great job reminding him to beat the force. The first baseman's way off the line, so he can get way towards second base, and you can't take that for granted. And it was a routine ground ball, and Taylor laid back on it a little bit, and he thought he had an easy force at second, and he didn't because of the hustle of Vossler and the lead that he had. And of course, Noisy went in for defense at second base, and he stood at the bag like a regular, like he had him out by 10 feet, and it was a bang bang play. Of course, you got to stretch like a first baseman if it's going to be close at any base, third, second, not only first. You have to stretch to get that ball as quickly as you possibly can. He didn't, and that allowed us to tie the game. And we know we went on to win it. So a big base running play, and it's so exciting for me when those things happen and on the bases, because they really go unnoticed most of the time.
Ah, huge play. Huge play, and Vossler got it done. Then Ruff comes up, and, whoa, I tell you something. I like this guy. There's something about him. He's got a great eye. He works the count. And was it a check swing? Was it a check swing? Well, if you look at the box score, it wasn't, and he ended up walking. But it was a huge at-bat for Ruff, and that brought in the fourth run to put you ahead 4-3.
Yeah, he's done a great job. To your point, I think the check swing is the toughest call in the game for the umpires. And, you know, I know when we're standing out there, it's flip a coin whether they're going to call it a swing or not. And thankfully for us, they called it no swing. And, of course, the place went nuts. The Dodgers went nuts. You know, we we take the lead. And it brought back memories of how I used to drive in runs at the plate with a bases loaded walk. But big at bat, you know, and that whole inning, not just Ruff, but Vossler and the guys put up some tremendous at bats off of Jansen. We laid off some very tough pitches, and I got to credit our hitting guys, you know, guys preparing, the players preparing in the tunnel before they at bat. You know, they're working on hitting the cutter in that moment. And so when they go to the plate, they already know what they're going to get. They've already seen it, and it certainly paid off that day.
A lot of base runners, the whole series, bunting situations, and I was really impressed with the way your bunt defense really was, even against Crow was last night, and against Bueller. You guys are playing a good bunt defense. You're almost taking the bunt away.
Yeah, well, with a pitcher up and a man on first, you know, if you have a pitcher that is not a good hitting pitcher and you're not fearful of the slash, and you have an average to below average runner at first, you can run a crash play. That guy in first can break, and Belt has been so very good at this over the years. And Lamont, he can move. And when he plays first, he can execute that bunt play. So he comes crashing in, and he's able to get to the bunt quickly, and we got a chance to get the lead runner. And in a couple cases, it's popped up. He makes a catch. But when you have a donkey over there that doesn't move very good at first base, you don't have the opportunity to really run that play because your guy's not going to get down his throat. So, you know, there's a lot of guys in the league that do it. Rizzo does it. You know, some other guys do it. And it's a big benefit in those big moments when the pitcher's up to be able to crash and try to get that lead runner. And we've done a good job with it.
Yeah, you are. You're taking the bunt away, which is really an offensive weapon, taking that away. People ask me, and I keep forgetting to ask you, the cheat sheet, this little piece of paper that these guys are always pulling out. I have no idea what's on there. Is it a code? Is it the Morse code? Is it hieroglyphics? What the heck is it?
Yeah. Yeah, well, everybody's doing it, right? They have the defense. You know, Kai sets the defense in now for us, and they print everything out on cards. And it's the positioning of the players. So, you know, when a guy comes up, the guy doesn't have it memorized. He looks at his card. It tells him, you know, 1, 2, 3, or 4, meaning, you know, straight, shade, pull, shift, whatever it may be. And it goes on the whole game. When we change pitchers, a new card comes out because you don't play everybody the same off different pitchers. You know, guys throw different. They pitch guys different. They have different stuff. So the cards have to change. You see the bat boys run out to the field, and they give the cards to the players. And the other place you see the cards is between the pitchers and the catchers. You know, the catcher's got the wristband on now. They have all these different signs they're going to use with pitchers because relaying the signs from second base to the hitter is so prevalent in today's game. With all the video and technology, you can't do it in the moment, but people look at the video before games and all week long, and they know the sign sequences. So what the pitchers have to do, they have multiple sign sequences on that card. You can't remember them all. So you'll look at the catcher and you'll go number one, or the catcher will look at you. He'll say number two. You look down at your card and it tells you what sequence of signs you're going to use. So you got to keep changing them so the guy at second doesn't relay the pitch. And the hitter has a huge advantage when that happens.
Can't you just call a fastball and throw a curve, or call a curve and throw the fastball? And doesn't that end everything?
Well, that's the way it used to happen, and the other way it was ended in the past. You know, you'd call a breaking ball away, and you'd throw a fastball up in the end, and the guy would be diving, and, you know, he'd get knocked on his butt, and that would put an end to it because the hitter wouldn't trust the guy out there anymore. But those days are gone. It's kind of accepted in the game. And you go back even further, you know, when guys would do that type of stuff, you drill somebody, and, you know, you're cheating. I'm not going to let you take money off my table and relay signs, you know, knock it off. They drill somebody. But that's gone by the wayside as well. Guys get thrown out. It's not in the game. So this is the way they deal with it today, is changing the signs.
All right. Bill Lasky, did you ever have a card in your pocket when you pitched?
No, I never did, and I never will. I just think it's The analytics has definitely changed everything. And as Ron said, a new pitcher comes in, everybody gets a new card, and you're looking at what sign you give when a runner on second. But that's the way baseball is, just like Ron said. And good morning to both you gentlemen. The other thing I wanted to ask Ron, you know, the last two games has not really been Giants baseball in 2021. A bad inning, the seventh inning on Friday, then yesterday. Everything was just hit hard. And when you look at what the Pirates did, their 6, 7, and 8 hitters go 9 for 15. Today's game, get back on Giants baseball. I think that has to happen. It's not really a must win, but with that day off tomorrow and the Dodgers coming in, Ron, how important is it to come out and play good baseball?
Good morning, Bill. Yeah, you're right. Well, you know, the one thing we've done a really good job of this year is, you know, staying away from long losing streaks and getting swept in a series. We've been winning most series. But as you know, Bill, the game is never easy. You know, every major league team can beat up on another one. And sometimes you run into a hot team or you don't execute. If you don't execute, like you say, play your Giants baseball, you end up losing the game. And, you know, I've heard several people say, well, you know, they're worried about a letdown. You know, the Giants, well, they come home, they play the big series. You know, the players are aware of that. We're aware that there's no letdown. We just didn't execute. Gausman wasn't on. You know, he wasn't throwing the ball right. We had a few miscues in untimely fashion for us at a bad time during the game that led to some runs. And you end up losing. So we play great baseball. We really have. And you're bound to go through this here and there. But to your point, let's win today. Let's have the off day, and then we get the Dodgers coming back in.
Well, do the analytics tell you something about Gausman? There's so many ways to analyze pitchers today. And, you know, I said, does he have a tired arm? What's up? But the analytics kind of tell you where he's at, don't they?
Yeah, you know, there's so much video and all these machines they have. They can really break down what is going on. You know, back when Bill pitched, it was, you know, the naked eye, the trained eye, it would say, oh, this guy's mechanics are off. You know, he's landing close. Or you go to the VHS tape and you hit the play and you hit rewind and you look at it again. You remember those days, Bill?
Sure, I
anyway,
do.
Yeah. Now they have everything down on all these cameras. There's so many cameras in the ballpark and everything's measured and immediately. You have readouts of, you know, the pitcher's delivery. And I think, you know, I heard some conversation that his delivery was off a little bit. So they're going to be looking at a couple things there. And I'm sure they'll get him back on track because, you know, it was real obvious that wasn't the Kevin Gausman we've seen all year. And that's great information to have because back in the past, you'd be wondering what's wrong with this guy, you know, if you didn't see it with the naked eye. So our people are on top of it. And I expect to see him make some good adjustments his next time out.
Hey, Ron, the IL players are getting ready. You see Crawford, you see Longoria, Belts doing some running drills. Are you seeing these guys taking baseball activities? And how close is Longoria and Craw? Because I think both these guys are going to probably come off that first week of August. And you're out there watching them. Are they both looking pretty smooth?
Yeah, you know, Craw hit for the first time yesterday, and he's looking good. I anticipate that he'll be coming off, you know, at the 10 days when he's eligible. You know, Belt's very, very close to playing in some games. I'm sure they're going to discuss getting him some rehab games to see some live pitching. He's taking his ground balls. He's moving fine. He's hitting. You know, he's doing everything he needs to do. I think Longo's a little further away, that collarbone. You know, he has real good days. I mean, he's doing all his baseball activity. But to do it at game speed, you know, it takes a little bit of time. And that's a little different injury that he had. So I don't know the exact timeline, but I would expect that you would see Craw and Belt before we'd see Longo.
Boy, good answer. Well, Nick Cafardo, the late Nick Cafardo from the Boston Globe, and, of course, you're a Connecticut guy. I imagine you knew Nick over the years, and he gets the Baseball Writers Excellence Award today in Cooperstown. Of course, his family will accept it for him. We lost Nick in February of 2019. But your thoughts about Nick Cafardo, I imagine you've come across him in your career.
Absolutely. You know, Nick was well-known, obviously, in the Boston area where he writes. Not only a tremendous writer getting the Hall of Fame Award, but a tremendous person. I mean, I know every time we went to Boston or I'd see him in New York, He'd always come say hello, you know, knowing I was from Connecticut. And it was always nice to be remembered when you go back east by a writer, somebody like that, had some great conversations with him. And it's very fitting for him, just as it was very fitting for somebody else to be put in the Hall of Fame, the Bay Area Hall of Fame. And I think I'm speaking to that gentleman right now, Marty. I haven't had a chance to congratulate you on that. What a tremendous honor for yourself. A great job.
Well, I appreciate it. It's the Bay Area Radio Hall of Fame, and I don't do it without Raf, as you know. Raf and I have been together 15 years, but it really is an honor, and what can I say? It's voted on by your peers, and I was shocked to get it, and I've been doing this for 25 years, and I love baseball, and I like to bring the story out. It's not about me. It's about the story and people like yourself, so I appreciate it, but well, without you and so many people along the way, God, we've done these shows now for probably over 10 years, and the most unique, I think, anywhere in the country where a coach like yourself will break the game down for us every Sunday. So I appreciate it. I really do. I appreciate it.
Well, you got it. It's special to me. Anytime you're voted on something by your peers, you know, I think that that's very, very special. So congratulations once again.
I appreciate it. Cueto. He stole a base. Now, you got to give him a sign. Did the guy almost faint when you gave him the sign, or what was going on with him?
Well, Johnny's an aggressive guy. You see him at the plate. You see him take some hacks. I mean, boy, he just takes a hack like he's a position player sometimes out of the blue. He likes to play the game. You know, he's out here taking ground balls, and he loves being on the field. You know, he reminds me of Pablo Sandoval in that way. He just loved to play. And Johnny wanted to run from the minute he got on first base, and first baseman went behind him. He's looking at Antoine Richardson saying, hey, let me go, let me go. So he was wanting to go, and, of course, the pitcher was extremely slow to the plate. We all saw Johnny run where he knocks the helmet off on that triple or that ball in the gap when he scored. He can run. And so got the 3-2, and Cap gave me the sign, and I relayed the sign to him, and I'm sure he didn't know what the hell it was, so Antoine made sure he knew what the sign was to go, because we don't start many pitchers in that situation. And he stole the base standing up, so it was a fun baseball play to watch.
Well, I love it. Well, as Bill says, you just want to get back to playing sound baseball, and that's what got you here, and still in first place, within a long way to go. We haven't even hit August and September yet, so it's an exciting time of year. Well, it's exciting out of River Islands. I wanted to mention this to you. I was thinking about it, and we talk a lot about the amenities out there, the kayaking and the trails and the location, but there are so many different homes, you know, 3-bedroom, 4-bedroom, 5-bedroom, 6-bedroom, different price ranges, and it's not a cookie-cutter community. It's a community that really caters to different kinds of needs, and I thought we'd bring that up.
Yeah, no, you're right, obviously. Having a realtor in the family, and you think about your own homes that you buy. Like, I've had 3 homes in different areas myself, and you know, to have the options. We know the community has so much to offer. You know, the lakes and all the being out in nature and the river and all the amenities. To your point, but now, you know, it has something for everybody, because what you said, you're a small family. You want you know, 2 bedrooms and an office. You got it. You're a big family, you know, 6-bedroom, there you, boom, you have it. So it really does have a lot to offer, and you don't find that. Usually you got to go to a different location.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many places with all these items and things to do, you know you want to live there, but you don't always have the home size. And that's what's another great point about River Islands. They have that. So they have a little bit of something for everybody out there.
Boy, we'll end on this note. It was great to hear Dwayne and see Dwayne last night, and I can't tell you, he sounds great, he looks great, and it was just nice to have him back healthy at the ballpark.
Yeah, it brought a smile to my face. I went out before the game, and Rusty, our camera guy, said, you know, Dwayne's here, and I looked up. I tried to give him a wave, but he was busy with the you know, opening of the game, and just felt great to have him here. Didn't get to listen to him, but I'm sure the fans were excited to see him back in the booth and listen to him call the game. I just wish we could have had a better game for him yesterday.
Well, we'll see what you can do today. We got Wood against Brubaker, and we'll see what we can do. Pirates, they're a pesky team. They hit the ball. They hit the ball. Well, have a great day today, and we will have a good week. Dodgers this week, and then the Astros. So we'll have a lot to talk about by next Sunday.
Okay, I'll look forward to it. Good being with you, Marty and Bill. Have a great day yourself.
Thanks, Ron.
All right, take care. All right, that is our third base. Bill, I'm glad you're still there. I wanted to ask you, did you ever steal a base?
No, not with these wheels, Marty.
No, you never got the sign? Before Woe left, I wanted to bring in. I wasn't sure you were there.
No, I was here. I'm listening in. And usually on first and third, you know, that backdoor guy always gets the stolen base. But no, never had an attempt. You know who did, though, is Atlee Hammaker. He did it without even a steal sign. He stole second base in Houston. And then he steals third base. And everybody in the dugout, including Frank, was throwing his hat around in circle. And he just said, hey, I had a nice lead. I had to go. So it was pretty funny. But, yeah, those things aren't usually typical when pitchers steal bases, Marty. But I was surprised, and the smile on Cueto's face just made it even better.
That was great. And what do you think of Talkman last night? As I tweeted out, if you want to see me pitch in fantasy camp, that's what Talkman looked like last night.
Yeah, I brought that up on the postgame show. I said, Marty, you threw harder than Talkman, so I gave you a little praise on that. Yeah, you know what? You know, those are the things I was glad they did it. They didn't need to use another arm. And he just went out there and threw strikes, and that's all he needed to do. He didn't care, and, you know, gives up a run, so what? But he got out of there, no injuries, and it saved an arm for today.
Is there etiquette as a hitter? I mean, the one kid they brought up had never hit a major league home run. John told a story about David Ross hitting one off Mark Grace, and Grace apologized to David Ross. Is there etiquette for a hitter just to say, I'm not going to crush the ball here?
I don't think so. I think those guys are up there trying to get a hit, get another point on the average. I'm sure there's other older guys that won't try to go deep. They'll just try to make good contact. But you saw Michael Perez with a pitch that called a strike. He looked back at the umpire and was like, hey, that ball's outside, you know. And it was pretty funny at that time. But Talkman did a good job. In the postgame show, he said, I was trying to throw it as slow as I could, but get it over the plate, and I didn't want to throw it over the catcher. Head.
Well, you want to bring him down to the camp. Bring him to the fantasy camp. Really?
I'm bringing you back, Marty. We're going to get you back on the hill.
I remember pitching to, what was it, Ron Santo's son, remember, with the Cubs? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when we played the Cubs. Fun. Those were fun.
Yeah,
fun
we had times. A great time. Yeah, I got the ball and threw the ball, the gravity sinker. That's what I like to do. All right, well, who do you have coming up? This is fun.
Oh,
this
I
morning.
Got the voice of Oracle Park, the one and only Ronnell Brooks Moon's coming up, and we're going to talk a little baseball and a couple
fabulous.
Other things. So joining up next on KNBR, the sports leader.